Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The fact is that it puts us in a place to realize that we can end up having a great relationship with a God and with those that serve Him.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron returns to the book of 1 Peter today as we look at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 in a message called Portraits of Pooling Together.
When suffering comes, pressure comes, the tendency is in a family, even as a family of God, is to begin pulling apart. And people start pulling apart and looking at more what they don't have as differences than what they do have as likes. And this is where I think Peter is so wise in dealing with this area of portraits, of pulling together, knowing they had all this suffering going and all of the privileges that he was trying to say to them, you're privileged that God is giving you this treasure of suffering out of his goodness, out of his mercy, out of the Christian privileges that you have. That suffering can have a tendency to rip apart your church, your family, the very foundations of who and what you are. And he was trying to encourage them, don't let that happen. And that's why in the very first chapter, he got talking about walking in harmony. That in the midst of the suffering and the gospel and the cross is what pulls together all those differences. The Jews and the Greeks, the barbarians and the free, the Scythians, and those that were in rural areas and urban areas and all becoming one. And this is why Peter takes this passage and he gives portraits, because he knew for those people he was going to explain things to them. But he said, let me give you some portraits of examples of things that are going to be pulled together and should be tight. And there were four of them that he put in this passage of Scripture we're going to look at. The first portrait he uses is the idea that we are children of the same family. We're children of the same family. This is what he says from 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. And notice, these are the two common factors. One of those is that we've experienced the same birth. Notice verse 23, being born again, and there's the term born again that Peter used from Jesus' own words. When Nicodemus said, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. We've experienced the same birth. And look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You have the same spiritual food. And it's such a simple, natural, obvious illustration that Peter says, listen, if you're alive, you're going to crave. See the word? He says, you're going to desire the word crave. You're going to cry out after milk. I got to get this. Even his families, Peter's saying, listen, this is a portrait. Pull this thing together and you're just like a family. You got to stay together. Number two portrait. He moves to the idea from a family to the idea of living stones in the same building. Notice verse 4. These living stones in the same building, verse 4, notice your Bible says, you also as living stones or lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And he's using the analogy as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then notice he takes this idea of a building and he says that Christ is the chief cornerstone of that building. He says it in Ephesians 2:20 as well, unto you, or verse 6, wherefore also it contained in the Scriptures, behold, he says, I lay in sign a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. What is he saying? He's saying that Christ, the metaphor is very powerful. He's saying he's the living stone. He was raised from the dead. He says he's the chosen stone of the Father. He says he's, notice the word precious stone. It's the idea of chosen and lovely. And then he says, He quotes Isaiah 28, and then he says he's the kind of Messiah that they were expecting, so they stumbled over him. He was a stumbling stone. And the cause for it was because they didn't want to believe that Jesus was that Messiah. As the lively stones, this same building, as one author said, listen, each time someone trusts Christ as Savior, another stone is quarried out of the pit of sin and cemented into place through the work of the Holy Spirit. And carefully overseeing this construction is Christ, who's the hands-on contractor of this eternal edifice. He's putting this all together. It's such a powerful, powerful portrait. Third portrait, he not only mentions about the lively stones and the family, but number three, he says we are New Testament priests in the same temple. What does he mean by that? We're New Testament priests in the same temple. And it's amazing when he uses this. Look at verse 5, and I'm going to just touch on 5 and 9, because he mentions it in verse 5, your lively stones. He says, you're a holy priesthood. And he says again in verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You know what he means by that? It corresponds to the heavenly priesthood of our Lord. He's both king and priest. In the Old Testament, no king in Israel served as a priest. And one king who tried, he was judged by God. 2 Chronicles 26 with Uzziah, who became a leper the rest of his life because there were separate offices, which, by the way, is why it's interesting in history, church history, when Constantine, who had that vision and eventually changed the Roman government from persecuting Christians to a very short time period, he now professes Christ and takes a crime of killing Christians to now Christianity flourishing. And he's trying to make everybody a Christian. He'd bring whole villages, march them into the river, man, baptize them. That'll get them all saved. Baptize them. That'll get them all saved. And Constantine, now the emperor over the empire of Rome, eventually declares himself the head of the church. Huge, huge issue. Now, what do you do as a believer? And the reality is that in that time period is also the time period you had terms that even today are still being used. For example, in the early church, the first century church, you end up having Christians that were being persecuted, even the time of Peter, and about 75 years after that, great persecution. And believers that were getting arrested, standing up before the magistrate, you deny Christ, and you accept Caesar as Lord, take a pinch of salt, put it on the fire, and say, Caesar is Lord. And if you don't, we're going to kill you, we're going to kill your family. And so there was many a Christian that caved under the pressure and said it, Caesar's Lord. They let him go. And then later, they convicted. They felt bad and felt like a traitor and felt like I shouldn't have swore allegiance to Caesar. They lapsed for a minute. And so they would go to the leaders of the church and they'd say, I lapsed and I shouldn't have done that. And so the church was in a quandary. What do we do? But they said it. And so they appointed, they didn't call them pastors back then. They appointed a bishop, 1 Timothy 3:1, an overseer, episkopos, someone that would oversee an event. And they started appointing people, pastors, bishops. And they were bishops, and they were the ones that made the decisions then about, okay, I heard the story out, so are they genuine or not genuine? And it was a big decision for those. So a whole system started getting developed. So you had bishops. And so where this term priest comes from is not the same term here as where you get the idea of the presbytery, the presbyteros, or those that was shortened to the term priest. So you had smaller little congregations that couldn't afford or handle a big bishop, so they had little priests that were over those small little churches. knew this whole system that was built on a Roman government, because you had a Caesar and you had governors and you have the chain of command, and so let's have a chain of command. And ultimately, the whole system came into, and I'm simplifying things, but I'm wanting you to understand that when Peter is saying the priesthood, you know what he's saying? Every one of you are priests. You don't have to go to anybody to confess and tell you what I did so that you can end up mediating for me to God. Do you understand that? And so you add century after century after century, and you got a whole system that unfortunately is very flawed. Because you know what Peter says right here? You are a holy priesthood. You. It's awesome. You mean I have to go to anybody else? I don't have to go to a priest? No. Because Christ is the only high priest. And he's also king. And it's a great understanding of a priesthood in the same temple serving together. And every believer has the privilege of coming to the presence of God, Hebrews 10. We don't come to God through any person on earth, only through one mediator, Jesus Christ. And this is why Peter mentions the spiritual sacrifices. Do you notice that? The spiritual sacrifices, he says in verse 5. And so today, we have all kinds of sacrifices we can offer. Not the same as Old Testament, but today. What would be one of those spiritual sacrifices you could think of? What about Romans 12, 1 and 2? What is that? Man, our body. I'm offering a living sacrifice, my own self. He mentions in Hebrews 13, the sacrifice of my lips in praise. That's a sacrifice. I offer good works that we do for others. Hebrews 13, 16. He even says material things we share with others in Philippians 4, 10. And even people we win to Christ in Romans 15, 16 are all sacrifices. And so the fact is that it puts us in a place to realize that we can end up having a great relationship with a God and with those that serve him. Let me finish quickly with we're a New Testament priest in the same temple. And lastly, he mentions in verse 9 and 10 the idea that we're also holy citizens of the same country. Did you see that in verse 9? He says you're a holy nation. You're a unique, set-apart nation because you are going to have people pulling you apart, your family, the family of God, churches, people with the dissension. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give you another portrait of something that can be so tight and put together. We're holy citizens of the very same nation. And the description of the church in those verses parallels God's description of Israel. But it's in contrast to the disobedient Israel. Notice what he says, that holy nation, a peculiar people, a special people. And you know what he says about it? He says, just like a nation that is so tight, there's a oneness there. You can realize, Peter's saying, listen, that nation is made up of all kinds of people and ages and genders and interests, but they are one nation that God called together. And that's why God said, I'm pulling you out from all the rest of the nations. I'm making you different. That's what the Old Testament says in Leviticus 10:10. Difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. And he uses this whole idea. Because when you realize that if that as a nation is one, there's going to be great pressures. But God says, I'm going to hold all that together.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.